one of the things the Lord was sharing with me is that He puts us in a place which we call God's waiting room. Hello? I don't know if we'll be able to do this all in one night, but we're going to talk a little bit about God's waiting room. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Would you go to Psalm 40, please? Praise be to God. Psalm 40. How many of y'all feel like you're in God's waiting room?
Oh, yeah.
Well, if you're not, you're in trouble. God's waiting room never ceases. Hallelujah. Because when He has you complete one mission, He puts you back in the room for another.
Hallelujah.
It seems like you never get out of God's waiting room. And there are certain things that God puts us in His waiting room for, but let's go over some of these scriptures before we get forward here. In verse 1 through 5, if you'll read this with me, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. Now you got to understand something. He said He waited patiently. Then God heard Him. Actually, God heard Him from the beginning, didn't He? But He got the answer. That's why He said, and the Lord heard my cry. Because you know what? You know when God hears your cries when you get an answer.
Amen.
Hello? So He said, I waited patiently for the Lord. Now patience is a representation of endurance also. And we also know that patience is the fruit of the Spirit, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. It's so that we endure. So if you're in God's waiting room, you're to be waiting patiently for the Lord. So whatever the circumstances that you're waiting on an answer for, and I'm sure that there's many supplications that are up before His throne that you're waiting on an answer for. And did you ever notice that when you get one answer, you're waiting for the, you're, okay, thanks, Lord. Now, what about the other ones? Well, He still must wait patiently for the Lord. Amen? And He inclined to me and heard my cry. Hallelujah. He also brought me out of the horrible pit, praise be God, and out of the what? Miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. And now it all goes back to waiting on the Lord patiently, doesn't it? He put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. You know why? Because you didn't do it. He did. Does everybody get it? You and I didn't do it. He did it. Then it says, blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Because you're either trusting in God or you're trusting in a lie. Amen? So the Lord allows us to go into His waiting room because He loves us. Hello? One thing you can never lose sight of, that His love for me and you is great. Believe me, He knows what He's doing. That's why He's known as God. But we have a tendency to play God and don't even realize that we are. How many times have you prayed for something and gone and tried to answer your prayer? And then you gave glory to God and it didn't last because it wasn't from God, it was from you. Hello? You know, I like to use those cars as examples, you know, and marriages and so forth, you know, because they didn't wait patiently for the Lord, right? They didn't wait for the counsel of God. They did it out of their emotions or their flesh or their own desires and got himself in trouble. Put people in debt, working on, I mean, some people have gotten married and they're still working on their marriages for a long time because it wasn't ordained by the Lord, but all things can work to the good to those who love the Lord. Amen. But who wants to wait till then? Hello? No? I mean, let's do it now. So God puts us in His waiting room, and there's a few reasons why He puts us in His waiting room, and I'm going to just share two of them with you. One of them is focus or refocus, and the other one is for discipline. Now, and we'll talk a little bit more about these certain areas. But let's go to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land, feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Now understand something. One of the things that He tries to bring us in also is to really get us to know Him, you know, with a more deeper relationship. Because it seems like that when you cry out to God more, you begin to know Him more. Amen? So He says, trust in the Lord and do good. So while you're waiting on God, you're to be doing good. Waiting on God doesn't mean sitting there twiddling your thumbs. I'm waiting on the Lord. Well, God is waiting on me and you. But he's waiting on me and you to do something or stay responsible while we're waiting on him for other things to happen. Okay? He says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Well, sometimes we're not in that area. Sometimes we say, I trust the Lord, but really don't. So he says, come on in the waiting room. And while you're in the waiting room, we'll get rid of some of you and put a little me in there, and you begin to trust me. Has everybody got it? So, what does he say? Commit your ways to the Lord, trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. So he's going to bring it to pass. Now, of course, majority of the time he doesn't bring it to pass the way you want it to. Because he knows better. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way and because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Wow. What does it say? Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. In other words, what are you worried about? God is God. And we're not. I like that song. So we go in God's waiting room, and as we're waiting on him, and as we're seeking him, what he's doing is he's causing something so that we can actually learn how to trust him. And he's going to bring it to pass according to his will and way. Now, if you're asking for something and he says no, then let it go, because it ain't going to come. So many people are trying to force the hand of God, and you can't. You'll stay in the waiting room until you hit the throne room, and that's death. And you'll be trying to struggle and trying to force building the house of God when he says, I haven't ordained you for this yet. So he keeps us in the waiting room, because when he sends us, what he sends is the extension of his hand. Does everybody get it? And whatever he touches prospers. Amen? Now, as the Lord had me in his waiting room on a specific thing, I was an individual at one time that I wouldn't put no money in watering the lawn. Hello? I said, well, I'm not going to water no sand. But in God's timing, he showed me eventually about when we sodded and we redid certain things to bring glory to his name. But I had to wait on the Lord. And he supplied the finances for it. And you know, we had one of the inspectors show up at the new house, and he had to go there to turn the water on, and the water's underneath my wife's name. And he had said, oh yeah, I know that guy, I know him. He said, we haven't heard from the neighbors in a long time. And he's doing really good out here. Look at all the houses and how he's improving everything. And he doesn't understand what the Lord is doing. But you know what? See, they thought I was a trouble. Oh, of course, I was a troublemaker. So anyways, now they're looking at a whole nother thing that they're doing a good job, and they're improving what's going on around here. So I got that today, that praise report. Russell told me that he met the inspector to open up the door. And the dude was boasting about how our ministry was actually doing things here. And to God be the glory. But you got to understand, it isn't because of a man, it's because of the Lord. Amen. And it had to be in his timing. Does everybody understand that? It had to be done by him or it wouldn't have been right. So when you and I tried to build it, don't work. Only if the Lord builds the house. So he keeps us in this place of waiting. Now, like I said, you'll be waiting on one answer and there'll be answer and you'll be waiting on another. So as far as I'm concerned, we never leave the waiting room of God.
Amen.
There's always something going on. But there's a specific thing that he keeps us in there for, is for refocus or focus and discipline. And of course, death is the number one key. Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Let's go to John 15. Let's start at verse 1. I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Now, pruning is called God's waiting room. This is where he prunes us, is in his waiting room. There's an area in his waiting room where there's a lot of pruning. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Wow. See, so many times we get confident in what we know and we lose sight of relationship and fellowship. We start working on what we know and it ain't the Lord. In verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Now that's powerful. So what he does is he puts us in his waiting room. Sometimes I think there's special rooms in his waiting room. I think there's more pressure in certain rooms than there is in the other rooms, you know. The squeeze. I mean, if you really think about it, you know, oil comes from the olive, right? It's got to be squeezed. The wine comes from a grape. It's got to be squeezed, right? Everything is squeezed. Diamonds come from coal. It's got to be squeezed. So when you and I are pruned, we bear more fruit. Because what God is doing is pruning the garbage out so that we can receive more. Now, you can go in God's waiting room just because he wants you to bear more fruit. And you can be doing the right thing and be walking right with God. And you can go in God's waiting room without doing anything wrong. You can be perfect in your walk and the Lord will still put you in his waiting room because his purpose is for you to bear more fruit. So even if you're bearing fruit, he still wants you to bear more fruit. That's called going forward. Does everybody get it? Going forward. In Acts chapter 1, in verse 4, now Jesus is getting ready to ascend, and he had his disciples out there, and there was quite a few of them out there. In verse 4 it says, being assembled together with them, he what? Commanded them. He what? He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Let me share something with you. He was sharing with them, go to the waiting room. And that was known as the upper room then. Now go to Acts 2, in verse 1, and it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. That was known as the waiting room. Now, you got to understand something. From Acts chapter 1, verse 4, to Acts chapter 2, verse 1, was 10 days. It was 10 days. So they were in the waiting room in one accord for 10 days. Now, I truly believe that they started off with a lot more than 120 who ended up there. There was probably about 300 or 400 or 500 disciples that were there. Because there was many followers. But only 120 lasted in the waiting room. And you know what? When they lasted in the waiting room, those 120 got baptized in the Holy Spirit. See, because if the Lord says there's a promise for you, do you understand that? There's a promise for you at the time, at the end of your waiting period. What he's actually doing is preparing you to receive something from him because he knows you can't do it yet. So he's preparing you to get it. So what he does is he puts us in the waiting room and he gives us a little bit by little bit and prepares us for the other blessing. See, he who's faithful with a little gets more. Amen. So when you've been faithful with a little bit, he's getting ready to bless you with something more. Now, God is not going to give an individual $1 million if he isn't faithful in paying his rent. He's not going to give somebody in charge of his church if they can't keep their own household. Okay? So in all these areas, what God does is he begins to put us in his waiting room. Now, let me share something with you. A waiting room can be 2 days. 3 days, 3 years, 10 years, 15 years, and it could be 20 years. Look at Moses. He waited for 40 years out in the wilderness, and then the Lord revealed himself to him, didn't he? He saw a bush. Amen. 40 years. That was a long time. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. So it took they were waiting 10 days. And then it said in verse 3, then there appeared to them divided tongues as the fire, And once they had upon each of them, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were waiting in God's waiting room. And one of the things that happened is so many places or so many believers, when they come to the Lord, they accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and run out and start doing things. And they don't last. Because they never waited for, first of all, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then waited to be sent by the Holy Spirit. Because God wasn't done with them in the waiting room. Amen? I have a tendency not to go anywhere until I'm thrown out. Unless the Lord visits me or speaks to me where I know that I know that I know it's time for me to move. But when the Lord started this place, He said to me, don't move. Please don't move. I mean, I'm telling you, it was like the Lord was begging me, don't move. And as you begin to see signs and wonders, He said, don't move. I said, okay. The devil tried to pack me up plenty of times to leave. And as I stayed and waited and did whatever He wanted me to do, and I'm not saying I'm perfect, believe me, because there's a lot of things I missed. But there's things that you thought you missed that He caused you to miss. And without waiting, we wouldn't be in this room today.
Amen?
Amen? Without waiting, and because the power of God was beginning to fall in this place, and we were seeing signs and wonders and seeing people's lives change, marriages restored, and all kinds of things happening. You know, the devil would say, well, why don't you go to another place and do this or whatever? And the Lord kept saying, don't move. I never had any idea that He was going to bless us with homes here. That didn't come to me for a while. I didn't understand what was happening. And then when He shared with me He was going to start blessing us with homes, it got real easy. I didn't understand what was going on from the beginning, though. See, because I had bad credit. And when my wife and I got remarried, the Lord put on our heart that she was to keep her maiden name because of the credit. Didn't bother me. Names don't mean nothing. I'm going to do what Daddy wants to do. A lot of people said, well, your wife doesn't have your last name? I said, hey, my last name is Christ.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And so is hers. We're married under the anointing. We're not married under man. We're married under the anointing of the Lord, ordained by the throne room of God. It don't matter what our names are. If God wants to use it this way, I don't know what He's going to use it for. But He's used her name to purchase these homes. And to God be all the glory. And we're still working on it. Hallelujah. So I had to stay in God's waiting room and not know how it was going to be. Now, there were many times when I thought, whoa, Lord, is this the one I'm supposed to talk to? And all of a sudden, people started coming up to my door asking me to buy their homes. I was like, wow. And every home that somebody said, you know, we want to buy, we'd put a deposit on and they'd rip us off. We'd put money into it, restore the home, and they'd throw us out. I'm like, Lord, what's up? I had to go through a lot of stuff. I had to make sure that bitterness and whatever didn't stay with me. The Lord says, be angry, but don't sin. Every one of these homes we were thrown out of after putting money in. I mean, you know, except for the house next door, but then when we had to catch them up a real lot on the, there were back payments. But every one of these, all these other homes, you know, people could be, yeah, you want to buy my house? Yeah, sure. We'd put money in it, move in there, whatever, start doing this, and we'd get thrown out or we'd lose it. What happened, Lord? I go back in the waiting room and die some more. I still don't understand why, and I'm not going to go ask Him why. Hello? Because He's God and I'm not. And let me share something with you. When you start going to the Lord and going, why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? You know what happens? You get further back in the back seat in the waiting room. I'm telling you. I want to get in the front seat in the waiting room, man.
Amen.
And let me tell you something. If you get out before time, you go in the hands of the devil. So you got to wait.
Amen.
Jeremiah 18.
All right.
Let me share something with you. You know what ends you up in the waiting room again? Is going ahead of God.
Amen.
You go right back in the waiting room. You go ahead of God, and you know He says, son, come here, and He takes you right by the ear. And He says, follow me. And He puts you in the back seat in the waiting room. You know why? Because He's got to fix what we just messed up. So you got to go back in the waiting room until when he fixes it all up, then he brings you up forward and he's saying, did you learn your lesson? No. I'm God and you're not.
Amen.
That's why the word says, be still and know that he is God.
Amen.
Amen. Jeremiah 18. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah, I thought this was going to be a two-night series. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, would you read it with me? Saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I'll cause you to hear my words. Let me share something with you. When we're not listening, he causes us to listen. Circumstances are manifestations of not listening. Does everybody get it? Circumstances are manifestations of us not listening. You'd be driving down the road and you get an inclination. I think I need gas. Well, the gas gauge is all right. Didn't realize it was broken. Think I need gas. You're out of gas. Man, I thought I... You know what? Lord, I thought that was you. Yes, it was. Come with me. And now you're waiting at the gas pump, or you got to make a walk, or whatever you got to do, right? I thought that was you, Lord. Yes, it was. That happened to me many times. But Lord, I have gas in that gas tank. Guy, you need to get some gas. I don't understand why. Died, the car dies. I go in the back, pick up the can. It's empty. Somebody used it and didn't refill it. I'm like, oh, man. Lord, you were trying to warn me, weren't you? Yes, I was. Now you have to go get some gas, and you'll have to wait and die. And you'll begin to learn my voice. Hallelujah. So circumstances are manifestations of when we miss what God is saying. Does everybody get it? Now, like I shared with you, that most of the time I don't move until the Lord throws me out or something happens. And there are times when, you know, when I think something's going to happen and he says to me, not now. And I go, okay. Especially when we're ministering at the jail. Believe me, there's sometimes I'm going to say something. Oh. And it's like, not now. Okay, no problem. And I got to eat dust. Actually, eat humble pie. Amen. Okay, verse 3. Read it with me. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he had made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. So understand, that's what the Lord does with us in God's waiting room. He doesn't want us to have any leaks. Amen. There's a lot of cracks in these vessels. Can't hold the wine. You know why? Because the flesh isn't intact. No dominion over the flesh, can't hold the wine. Has everybody got it? That's the way he says, why would I put new wine in an old wineskin? Take dominion. That's why David said, I fasted to put my soul or my flesh under submission or chasten it. So he's putting it under his feet so that the Lord can give him new wine. James 1. So we're going in the waiting room for more fruit. Get pruned a little bit for more fruit. Become that precious jewel for the King of Glory. In verse 2, would you read it with me, please? My brethren, count all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. You got to understand something. God utilizes the waiting room to test us. He checks us out to see if we're really trusting in Him or trusting in us. Because if He sees a circumstance, and he puts you in a waiting room, and you say, okay, Lord, no problem, I'm waiting on you. He says, good, now here.
Amen.
You understand? Because now he knows you can trust, he can trust you with it. But let what? Patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. You understand that? So in God's waiting room, he's actually testing you out to see if you're willing to stay. If you're willing to wait and stay until he does whatever he's supposed to do, he can trust you, and then he can give you something bigger.
Amen.
And when he does that, he makes sure that you don't worship what he gives you, but you're still worshiping him.
Amen.
If you begin to worship what he blesses you with, you go right into the waiting room, all the way back to the back seat.
Amen.
And you got to wait. One day I got a ticket from an officer. I was driving a 1946 Chrysler limo, which doesn't move real quick. And he pulled me over and said I was weaving in and out and passing cars. I was trying to figure out which cars they were. So I knew this was a ploy of the devil. So I pulled over where he asked me to. And I got out of the car and started pacing back and forth, praying in the spirit. And he got on my case. Be quiet and stand still. I said, Lord, what's up with this guy? So I just waited, and he came over, and he said to me I was reckless driving, this and that. I put my arm around him, told him I loved him. He thought I was nuts, I think. I said, I forgive you. He didn't understand. He was almost ready to push me off or whatever. So I took the ticket, and I went to court, and I said, you know, Lord, only you know. And he said, guy, just keep quiet. Don't say a word. I went to court. I sat in his courtroom all the way in the back in the last row almost. Well, my last name begins with an I. Now they are on Z. And I'm still waiting. And I said, Lord, is this a part of this long suffering? You know what he said to me? Yes. I said, okay. So they said, is anybody here we haven't called yet? Me. And the judge calls me up. Says, well, your officer hasn't showed up, so I guess you're not going to plead guilty. See you later. Boom, and that was it.
Hallelujah.
I said, hallelujah. He said, the Lord said to me, yeah, if you'll learn how to stay that way, I'll get you out of a lot of things.
Amen.
And you'll earn my trust, and I can trust you with certain things. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So it took a lot of dying. I was sitting there fidgeting, going, man, how long am I mean, I sat there for 2.5 hours, just waiting, waiting, waiting. Waiting, dying, and waiting. And then all of a sudden I started trying to figure it out, and I had to start casting those things down. Should I go up there? Should I raise both hands? Maybe I ought to just run to the judge and plead for mercy. You know, what do I do? It's a part of that long suffering, guy. See, God can put you in a waiting room anywhere.
Amen.
Anywhere. James 5. There are rewards in waiting, though. Hallelujah. Is everybody at verse 7? Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. Wow. There's a reward, isn't it? You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. So what are you saying? Don't start grumbling while you're waiting. Just be quiet and die. Just be quiet and die. And let God move you where he needs to move you, and let him do with you what he wants to do with you. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, listen. Being a servant of the Lord doesn't mean that you're going to enjoy everything God has you to do. Doesn't mean you're going to enjoy everything that... You know why? Because he wants the glory. He wants the glory in everything. Sometimes you're going to have to... He's asking you to do something that you just don't like. Sometimes it may be one thing every single day. But Lord, just doesn't make sense. I don't understand this. Good. Do you trust me? But Lord, just doesn't feel right. Good. Do you trust me?
Amen.
Emotions will kill you. They'll move you out of position more than anything quicker will. And that's how the devil plays us, is with emotions. Hallelujah. Let's go to Lamentations, chapter 3. Let's start at verse 22. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. Does everybody see that? The Lord is what? Good to those who wait for him. Wow. Yes. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly. Oh, we better all read that one again. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. So it's good to be quiet. Remember, Jesus didn't grumble, did he? He didn't say nothing. Grumbling puts you in the back seat in the waiting room. Oh, hallelujah. Now, The Lord is good to those who wait on Him. Now, I want to share with you, look at what happened to Job. Job was in God's waiting room. I mean, he saw his family wiped out, his prosperity wiped out. He saw himself get sick. He didn't curse God. He waited quietly. And what was the Lord trying to do? Bring him to another place. And he lost his wife. He lost everything, didn't he?
Yeah.
Everything he lost. And God doubled up everything he lost. Look at Joseph. There's another one. You know what? They were doing something while they were waiting. They just weren't sitting around grumbling and complaining. Oh, God, where are you? And hanging around with others that are still grumbling and complaining. Yeah, you know, the Lord hasn't done this for me. Well, really hasn't done this for me either yet. You know, I'm still waiting on this. I'm still waiting on that. But look what happened to Joseph. Everywhere Joseph went, he prospered. Now, Joseph wasn't supposed to be in jail for 2 more years. He's expecting to get out when he told that one guy to bring the word to the king for him. And he didn't hear from him for 2 years. Joseph wasn't expecting to stay in the waiting room of God for 2 more years. Joseph was in prison, was a slave, served, and then the Lord gave him revelation. He was able to interpret the dream. See, God was just bringing him underground and then popped him right up in Egypt, right? And said, here, Joseph, you waited patiently. Now I'm going to make you a ruler. Sometimes God is bringing us through things for positioning. We're all in here right now because we're in God's waiting room for positioning. Some of you will stay and serve in this ministry, and some of you will go on. Do you understand? God will move however He's going to do it, but don't move unless the Lord moves you. Amen? Some of you become preachers, pastors, evangelists, whatever it is. Whatever it may be. But you have to allow God to build you. So right now, this is a part of the waiting room. In the waiting room, there's learning. There's training. Amen? Learning and training is in the waiting room. I've gone from... Now, I didn't move from ministry to ministry because the Lord... because I felt like it. I've been in 3 ministries my whole life. Has everybody got it? The Lord started me with 1 ministry, sent me to another ministry, and then sent me 2 ministries my whole life. And then this one. This is the 3rd one. Only when the Lord moves you. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I got thrown out once. So anyway. No. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So anyways, we see Joseph and Job, they stayed in God's waiting room and prospered. Now, Samson, hello? He thought he knew God. And the Lord didn't lift His anointing from him until Samson revealed the secret, didn't He? So, Samson wasn't willing to stay in God's waiting room. He walked out of it. And he began to do his own thing. And you know what happened? First of all, the Israelites went back into bondage because he was supposed to be their deliverer. And he became blinded, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Amen? See, moving out of God's waiting room will bring blindness. In fact, you're already blinded before you move out. Does everybody get it? That's because you're listening, taking heed to the voice of the stranger where he's blinding you, then you move out of God's waiting room. And he moves you right into the trap of the devil. Oh, hallelujah. So waiting in God's waiting room brings a deeper relationship with the Lord, brings death to self, removes a hard heart, exposes deceptive areas of our life, positions us, rescues us from danger, brings more revelation knowledge and more experience. Oh, hallelujah. I guess you want me to repeat those.
Yes, sir.
Okay. In the waiting room brings a deeper relationship. Death to self. Removes a hardened heart. Exposes deceptive areas. Positions. Rescues from future danger. Brings more revelation knowledge and more experience. Hallelujah. Should we go further?
Amen.
Isaiah 48. In verse 16. Read it together, please. The Lord says what? Come near to me. Hear this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was. I was there. And now the Lord God and His Spirit has sent me. Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. Wow. So you got to understand something. He wants me and you to profit, doesn't he? And he wants to lead us the way that we should go. So he puts us in the waiting room for his purpose. And it's for our good. Amen? What does it say? Oh, that you had heeded my commandments. Then your peace would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Your descendants also would have been like the sand, and the offspring of your body like the grains of sand. His name would not have been cut off, nor destroyed from before me. So what was he saying? If you had listened to me and waited on me, these problems wouldn't have come. But I want to back up and let you know that it's important that the Lord knows what's best for me and you. He knows what's best, doesn't he? Isaiah 40. The book of Isaiah is the prophet of the Son. Glory to God. Isaiah 40 and 28. Let's read it together. Isaiah 40 and verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. That's the result of waiting for God. Oh, hallelujah. So there is a reward, isn't there? Go to Isaiah 43. The waiting room of God. It could be a wonderful place if you let it. Glory to God. In verse 16. 43:16. Let's read it. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, and they shall not rise. They are extinguished. They are quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness, the rivers in the deserts. The beasts of the field will honor me, the jackals and ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people I have formed for myself, and they shall declare my praise. You know who he's talking about? Me and you. Me and you. But you understand, he says, I am doing a new thing. Every time you go in the waiting room of God, he does a new thing. But the problem is if we get in that place where we're comfortable and we're not willing to do a new thing, when he tells us to come out of the waiting room to do the new thing, we say, no, I'll stay here. Do you understand? So there's sometimes when we won't even come out of the waiting room when the Lord is trying to get us out to do the new thing. And some of us sometimes get comfortable in the waiting room, but let me tell you something. He doesn't allow that to last long. Just like when the eagle mother starts getting her kids out of the nest, you know what it starts doing? Removing all the bean bags, you know, all the cushions. And the twigs get real nasty for them where they can't sit and get comfortable. And mommy doesn't feed them anymore. And they start leaning over the edge. And mommy comes around and goes, poof, but never lets them hit the ground, even if they can't fly. Because she's their Lord. Do you understand? And our Lord is the same way. He will not allow that to happen. Only if we're disobedient. He doesn't force us, does he? Hallelujah. So he'll make a way where you and I can't. He'll make a way for a new thing to happen, but you can't go by what you feel. In fact, sometimes you can't go by what things that you learned a little while ago. You know, when he puts you in a position where you can't go by what you learned or nothing, the only thing you can do is trust him. That's how he reveals himself to me and you. Oh, hallelujah. And it's fun when that happens.
Yeah.
It's a little shaky at first. But when he manifests himself, you go, whoa, Lord, thank you. Thank you so much. You know how many times he's rescued me and you already? And we don't even realize it? In other words, you could have been at work one day and something could have happened. But you were homesick. You know, I had a friend of mine who died on that flight, that jet that the guys fell asleep because the oxygen went out. And they had that golfer on. Was it Payne Stewart? Yeah. Well, my friend was the pilot. And, you know, and it was like I was devastated when I heard about his death. Blew my mind. And we went to the funeral, and I thought, Lord, his ministry is over. And, there was so much for him to do, and the Lord said to me, no, watch. This is his ministry. Through this, many souls are going to be rescued. I thought, whoa. And many souls got rescued through that. But you know who was supposed to be on that flight? Brother Clint Brown. He was supposed to be, and he was upset that he didn't get that plane. You know, he was thanking God afterwards, you know that. Oh, Lord, forgive me for my grumbling. Amen. Yeah, he was upset that he didn't get on that flight because he had to be somewhere. But God had it all in control, didn't he? Isaiah 55. So we have to be careful of doubt during our waiting period. We also have to be careful of depression and fear. Three things that the devil will try and hit you with while you're in your waiting period. Doubt, depression, and fear. Is everybody right? Got that? What's the three things the devil will hit you with while you're waiting? Doubt, depression, and fear. He'll move you out of God's waiting room in the devil's hands. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. Let's read it together. For my thoughts, hello. Are we all there yet? Isaiah 55 verse 8. Yeah. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts than your thoughts. So we know the one thing that we have to do is start thinking like God now. Not that we're God. Amen. But we have to start thinking how He would. In other words, it doesn't mean He's going to reveal the whole plan to me and you. But we have to start thinking, let's see, if the Lord loves me so much, I know that what's happening with me right now is for my best interest. As long as you're desiring to do the will of God. Now if you're not out there desiring to do the will of God, hello? You're going to be taken out by the devil, aren't you? Amen? So you got to be willing and desiring to do the will of God. Alright? And we have to start going to that place where, alright, the Lord, He's going to do everything for my best interest. He knows exactly what I need. Alright? Lord, so you're delaying on this for a reason. Alright? I'm gonna commit it to you. Has everybody got it? Now, I'm not saying that sometimes the Lord doesn't say, I want you to press in a little bit more there. Or do something more. So this is what we got to know what he's saying. Amen? And James 4, in verse 13. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, but what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this and do that. Wow. So many times we try to express ourselves in the meaning of we know. But in true reality, we don't. We don't. And sometimes the Lord holds things from us so that we trust Him. In fact, if He was to give you and me the blueprint of what He wanted us to do for our whole life, we'd end up altering it. You know, we'd end up erasing certain things and drawing in our own stuff and whatever it was. Oh, Lord, you know, we need to have a discussion about this plan you have for my life. Amen? That's why He doesn't do it that way. That's why He only gives you a little bit at a time. Well, you know, believe me, I ask the Lord every day, Lord, you know, if you'll just make it real simple and plain, I'll walk any way you want me. I mean, whatever you want me to do. No. You have to trust me. Get your pen out and your paper, and I'll tell you what I need done now. Other than that, trust me. I mean, every day I say, Lord, what do you want me to do? He says, be still, know that I'm God. In other words, you're going to order my steps. Yes. Okay. He's not going to order my mind. He's going to order my steps. Has everybody got it? Oh, hallelujah. Okay. So planning is okay. Do you understand that? There's nothing wrong with planning. Of course, you're going to say if the Lord wills. But you must have God involved in it. You cannot plan without Him. When you plan without Him, you're in trouble. Big time. You'll be in the waiting room in the back seat again. In Matthew 16 and verse 21. Is everybody there? Let's read it. From that time, Jesus began to show to His disciples that He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Now, Jesus was explaining to them that these things needed to come to pass. Does everybody get it? Now, Peter did not have the thoughts of God. Verse 22. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Can you imagine taking the Lord aside and beginning to rebuke him? Saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. But he turned and he said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of things of God, but the things of man. Wow. So he wasn't thinking of things of God, was he? He was in the carnal. He was in the flesh. He wasn't thinking about the purpose of the Lord, and the Lord had been explaining to them the whole time of what had to be done and why. But he didn't get it. So he wasn't really thinking about it. And this happens when we take our control again. One thing that man doesn't like to do, the carnal man doesn't like to give up his control. And when we start taking our control again, you know what the Lord starts saying? Get behind me, Satan. When we start trying to do it our way, He says, start getting behind me. Does everybody get it? Hallelujah. Exodus 13. Get behind me and get in the back seat. And verse 17. Now, when Moses was leading the Israelites out of Egypt, and the Lord was plaguing them, in verse 17, it says, then it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, for God said, let perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So the Lord wasn't going to lead them the short way. He was going to take them a longer way, taking them on another path, because he was concerned that they would be afraid and go back to Egypt. Okay? In verse 18, so God led the people around by way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. So the Lord knew exactly how to lead them out of there, didn't He? See, sometimes God doesn't bring us the shortcut way. He brings us the long way, because for His purpose and for His reason. But His purpose and reason is for the best interest of His children. Has everybody got it? So many times we lose sight of that. So they went on an extended journey, didn't they? And this is where we say, well, Lord, let's get this over and move on. Come on, Lord, let's just get this over and move on. We need to go on, Lord. There's a lot of things that need to be done. And the Lord says, no. You think that there's a lot of things that need to be done. But I know what needs to be done. Amen? Sometimes we want to say, move over, Lord. No shortcuts with the Lord. He knows exactly what's what. Go to 1 Samuel 16. Hallelujah. A couple more scriptures. Hang in there. 1 Samuel 16. You know, especially, it's like business decisions. When you need to make a business decision, you need to go to the Lord, and you need to get counsel from the Lord. Because if you move by what you see or what you feel, majority of the time you're going to do the wrong thing. Sometimes God puts us in the waiting room so that we can actually get a fresh vision of what to do. So He can send someone across our path before we make that decision. Do you understand that? Because the Word says in the multitude of counsel, there's safety and wisdom. Sometimes He's speaking right to us through a spouse or a friend or someone else, and we quit, we're not willing to receive it, and we're saying, I'm waiting on God, and don't realize it's God speaking through them to us. Amen. So he keeps us in the waiting room, and he's trying to hold back that bad decision that we're about to make. And he can only hold it back for so long. Then all of a sudden we go, well, you know, and then we know that either it goes or it doesn't go. Amen. In 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7, read it with me. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. You know, so many times people get a job because of the money, but it's not the job God ordered. Or if you're someone that's putting a bid in for a job and it's good money, but the Lord isn't telling you to. You know why? Because the money will distract people when God is trying to use something to bring someone in position for money later, which would be double the amount of money you would have made. Hello? If you would have just listened from the beginning and taken what the path of the Lord instead of the path of flesh or the path of desire. That's like buying that car. It's like buying that car. You know? Hallelujah. Lord, I want a car. That's the one. I'll take that one. That will do. I'm satisfied with it. Well, son, that's not the one I sent you. Thank you, Lord, for that blessing. 2 days later, the clutch falls. 3 days later, the engine's on the rear end. 4 days later, you're pushing it to the junkyard, and you just spend $1,000 for nothing. Lord, thank you for that car. I'm counting all my trials and tribulations joy. How am I going to get to work? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? Oh, get back in the back seat. And then we'll dust off that back seat in the waiting room. But Lord, it was a great deal. Was it a God deal? Hallelujah. Don't get me wrong, your clutch fell out lately. Don't worry about it. So man looks at the outward, and God looks at the what? Inward. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to Matthew 28. And verse 19. Ah, verse 17. No, verse 18. Verse 18. Hallelujah. Just 18. 18's good. Let's read it together. And Jesus said, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, he said he's with us. Now, one of the things that you want to do while you're in the waiting room with God is to wait with God. Remember, he's not against you. He's with you. He wants you to wait with him. Amen? He wants you to lean on him. He wants you to trust him. Hallelujah. Wow. Isaiah 45. Oh, Jesus. In verse 9. And let's read it together. Woe to him who strives with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds on the earth. Shall the clay say to him who formed it, what are you making? Or shall your handiwork say, he has no hands? Woe to him who says to his father, what are you begotting? Or to the woman, what have you brought forth? So he's saying, don't quarrel with your maker. Amen. Don't quarrel with your maker. Remember, the Lord is not against you. He is what? With us. Amen? He's with us. I think we're going to stop here. I got a few more scriptures, unless you want me to finish. Should we finish?
Take us home.
All right. Take us home. Praise be to God. Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21. Come on. Proverbs 21. We'll get there quickly. Oh, we'll go back in the back seat now.
Hallelujah.
Some of us will be dusting off the bed. See, you better be careful. Proverbs 21 and verse 30. Would you read it with me? There is no wisdom or understanding or counsel against the Lord. Wow. So you don't want to have counsel against the Lord. You want to have counsel from the Lord. Amen. And the devil always tried to bring you counsel against the Lord. So no plan against the Lord is going to work, is it?
Amen.
When God, when you said, Lord, I want your will to be done in my life, he's going to do it.
Amen.
And if you start walking away from it, he's going to try and bring you back into it.
Amen.
Circumstances bring you back into it.
Amen.
Amen. But as long as you are become humble and begin to repent, you'll get back into it.
Amen.
Or else he'll cause you to get into it sometimes. You know, people usually end up in jail, in a hospital, somewhere, in God's waiting room. Those are all places of God's waiting room. Amen? Proverbs 19, and verse 21. What does it say? There are many plans in man's heart, nevertheless the Lord's counsel, that will stand. Hallelujah. Proverbs 20, 24. A man's steps are of the Lord. How then can a man understand his own way? Hallelujah. See, you and I aren't going to always understand our way, as long as it's not unrighteous. Does everybody understand that? But if it's righteous, God is ordering our steps. He says he orders the steps of a righteous man, doesn't he? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, can we all read this together? But as it is written, I has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of whom is from the Lord, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So we know that the Spirit is searching deep things of God to bring to me and you. It's his plan. Sometimes because we're not walking in the Spirit, God will put us right in the waiting room till we make the choice to be obedient and get in the Spirit. And that takes a conscious effort. Just because you have the Spirit doesn't mean you're walking in it. You must be disciplined to make the conscious effort to get in the Spirit. Amen? And we'll continue with this next week. All right? To God be the glory. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the waiting room that you have prepared for us. And in fact, you said you went to a place and prepared a bunch of rooms for us, didn't you? But Lord, we didn't know they were starting right here on earth. So Father, we thank you for the waiting room that you have. And Lord, let us enjoy the time of our waiting room and be obedient in the time of our waiting room, that you can fulfill all things according to your will and your way, and that we would be pruned to bear more fruit for your glory, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen and hallelujah.